Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Ever wanted to leap tall buildings, uphold the law, solve a crime, but just don't have the time?
Go!
Tune in to Joy 94.9, Wednesdays from midday,
when Victoria Police gay and lesbian liaison officers
Gabby and Scott
ask for your help in solving crime.
Victoria Police GLOWS, Crime Stoppers, the Anti-Violence Project and Joy 94.9 working together to help make our community safe.
And welcome to the Vic Police GLOW Show. Greg Atkins from the Anti-Violence Project here with Scott Davis, Manager of the Gay and Lesbian Liaison Unit at Victoria Police.
You said my name. I can't talk now. I was going to say, and it's can. Scott Davis from the Victoria Police Gay and Lesbian Advisory Unit. We do this every week.
Well,
it's
GLOW, not GLOW.
If it was funny, it'd be great running gag, but it's not. So I think by next week, you should perhaps write it out a million times.
I think I have to
make sure you get it right.
I'll be with a whiteboard and a marker.
That's right. You can do Bart Simpson style and then jump on your skateboard and sail off down the street.
That's right. And it's a special show because this is a show where you connect and you're part of this partnership between Joy 94.9, Crime Stoppers, the AVP, Victoria Police GLOWS, and anyone else that's out there.
I'm going to pull you up again. It's Pick on Greg Day. You can't just throw in AVP. What's AVP?
That's a very good point. AVP is Anti-Violence Project.
You should know that you've been on radio much longer than I have.
Just a tad.
Yes. Now, we've got a really exciting show coming up today. We've got our regular Crime Stopper segment, so we'll get those. We've got a Vic Police News segment. Now, I don't normally put a crime into the Vic Police News segment. I like to talk about some other stuff. And one of the things that I was looking at perhaps talking about that's on vicpolicenews.com.au is the police boat called Fearless that had to go down to Portland to rescue some people. But I've dropped that story because I'm putting in a crime and it's in regards to a sexual assault on a male by a male down in Prahran. And I thought that, you know, there'd definitely be some of our listeners that might be able to help us out there. So we'll talk about that during the show. And we're going to play an interview with Chief Commissioner Ken Lay that we did way back in August 2009.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, and I thought it would be a good opportunity. He's at Pride March with us this coming Sunday, and I thought it might be a good opportunity for us to reflect back because he spent an hour in the studio with us back in 2009, and we learnt quite a little bit about him. I found him very, very engaging. He was really jovial. He came across as really community-minded. He was passionate and committed about policing. And he was also innovative. So we'll hear that through the interview today as well.
And it's reassuring because when the community heard this interview, it started to pave the way for an understanding about this individual into his then role. And certainly as he jumped into the Chief Commissioner's role, appointed at the start of or end of last year, it was very reassuring to have remembered his time at Joy.
Now, this was an interview that was done by Paul Anthony, myself and Gabby Tyack. So we'll play some little snippets throughout the hour of the show today. And we're going to play our first little snippet right now, which was Paul's introduction.
He joined Victoria Police in 1974 and has had a varied career working across metropolitan and country police stations. 2003, he was appointed to the position of Chief of Staff and then Chief Commissioner Christine Nixon. In 2005, he was appointed to the rank of Assistant Commissioner in charge of the Northwest Region of Victoria. And then in 2008, he became the Assistant Commissioner responsible for traffic. And this year, he was appointed to his current rank, which is the Deputy Commissioner. So, without further ado, Deputy Commissioner Ken Lay, welcome to Joy 94.9.
Good afternoon, Paul, and it's great to be here.
My goodness, what haven't you done?
I'm impressed.
So there we go. That was the introduction of Chief Commissioner, who was then Deputy Commissioner Ken Lay. And I need to interpret some of that stuff because Paul was very, very nervous with Ken in the studio. he had a lot. He has a lot of bling on his shoulders, and even I was a little bit nervous with somebody of such high rank around. So he did. He joined Victoria Police in 1974, and we'll hear in a snippet a bit later on. He actually joined on the 4th of February 1974. So this weekend, Pride March weekend, he will be celebrating his 38th anniversary in Victoria Police, which is huge. He had a varied career working across metropolitan and country police stations. In 2003, he became a superintendent and was appointed to the position of Chief of Staff for Christine Nixon. So he's got some ideas about what it was like in Christine Nixon's office. In 2005, he became the Assistant Commissioner for the Northwest Region of Victoria, which include he was based at Broadmeadows, but his area ran right up to the South Australia-New South Wales border. In 2008, he became the Assistant Commissioner responsible for traffic. In 2009, he was appointed Deputy Commissioner for Road Policing. And in December last year, he became Chief Commissioner of Police.
So it's a pretty good pedigree for a person that's been involved. It must be reassuring, as a member of the police force, as you are, it must be reassuring to actually have someone that's operated in a range of different ways and actually understands different parts of policing.
I thoroughly agree. And the great thing about this is that, you know, the last couple of appointments haven't been met well by Victoria Police, and they haven't been met well perhaps by the Police Association. And I make no comment on those because I have had contact with both Christine Nixon and Simon Overland, and I found them very engaging people.
But the dilemma for community, for LGBT and I community around that, is when there's a negative commentary about senior members of Victoria Police, it reinforces in some people's minds some of the prejudices we hold about Victoria Police in times past.
Yeah.
So even if it's not related, you know, negative commentary is not related to the issues that relate to us around homophobia or prejudice, violence, it can still engender a bit of disquiet amongst and lesbian people.
I thoroughly agree. And look, you'll hear throughout this next hour in this interview that we did back in 2009 with Ken, and I would hope that people are encouraged by listening to it. One of the things I love about it when I was re-listening to it last night is the way he laughed through the whole interview that he was here. You know, there were some very serious moments because we were talking about road policing, but he was really communicative and I can't even say the word. But he was laughing all the time, and he was really enjoying. And you will hear during this interview how much he loves community. So I do hope that you enjoy this opportunity. But we've got a question for you that we want to ask, because Ken Lay, Chief Commissioner Ken Lay, will be at Pride March on Sunday. Not everyone's going to have the opportunity to be able to talk to him. So I want to know, what message would you like us to pass on your behalf to Chief Commissioner Ken Lay from the GLBTI communities?
Pretty good question.
Yeah. And what we'll do is we'll print them all out and we'll hand them over to Ken so that you've got that message across to him.
You're on Joy 94.9. You're on the Vic Police Glow Show with Sergeant Scott Davis from Victoria Police Gay and Lesbian Advisory.
Well done, yes.
Unit.
Yes.
And Greg Atkins from the Anti-Violence Project of Victoria.
And if you're wondering why there's only two voices in here today, Senior Constable Gary Tyke is actually up at the Australian Federal Police Building here in Melbourne for their Glow course. They're running a Glow course this week, so she's up there helping out with that and learning from them and helping them learn all that sort of stuff. So we'll get a bit of an idea next week what happened at the Australian Federal Police Glow course.
Fantastic. In fact, they invited the AVP to be part of training this afternoon, but sadly, as a community group where we don't have full-time staff, we weren't able to help out. And that's one of the things about building capacity, building funding right across the gay and lesbian, bisexual, transgender and intersex community, about allowing groups to grow and meet the challenge that we all have in our various walks of life.
And likewise, they wanted me to head up there as well, and Gab and I had a bit of a tussle in the corridor about who goes on the radio and who goes to the AFP. And
you won.
I don't know whether I won or she won, actually. But yeah, either way, you know, we're out there doing Glow stuff.
Now, this is a partnership show between Victoria Police, Glow's Anti-Violence Project, Joy 94.9 and Crime Stoppers. And of course, you. And this is an important part of why you should be listening.
So this is our first crime of the week. At about 9:30pm on Saturday, the 29th of October, 2011, a man entered a milk bar in Huntingdale Road, Huntingdale. The man allegedly produced a handgun and demanded cash from the register. As he aimed the handgun at the proprietor, he removed cash from the register. The man was wearing dark Adidas or similar track pants and a white hoodie with a logo or name across the front. He also had a surgical mask covering his face. The man was seen running from the shop along Clifford Street. We've released images of the man we believe may be able to assist us with our inquiries, and you can see those images at crimestoppers.com.au by searching for reference number CA5989.
Now, very clear images. In fact, they are really good images from those digital cameras.
It's actually quite horrifying because you can see the gun there being pointed at the proprietor, which just would be terrifying.
Now, a lot of the gay and lesbian community in particular live out at Huntingdale and the surrounds. This is one of the ones with, if you're in that area, prick your ears up. If you're in Carnegie or Murrumbina, all around that way, prick your ears up and I'd be checking this out straight away. CA5989. What sort of services and supports are there for traumatised staff that go through this, where someone points a gun at them?
Yep, so there's a Victims of Crime Assistance Program that has been developed by the state government. What we do in circumstances like that is we make referrals off. So we give them give people information, victims of crime information. They can contact the Victims Assistance Counselling Program and they can then get hooked up for counselling and a whole range of other services that are available through, I think it's a Department of Justice program.
That's pretty awesome, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's if that's not available, because it's only for crimes against the person, it's not for crimes against property, but if it's crimes against the person, then crimes against property, we can make other referrals and stuff. But in this particular instance, it's clearly a crime against the person, so those services will be available.
Now, recap, it's an armed robbery in Huntingdale.
Yep, on the 29th of October last year at Milk Bar and Huntingdale Road, Huntingdale.
If you have any knowledge concerning any crime, call Crime Stoppers on 1800 333 000 or visit crimestoppers.com.au. If it's an emergency, always call 000.
Always call 000, always. And when safe, if you want to call the Anti-Violence Project or contact us, antiviolence.info, and you can make a report on there as well. In fact, if you're not comfortable talking to police, come to the AVP and we'll actually negotiate and work a way where you can comfortably talk to police from that point on.
Now, it's Pride March this weekend and we've got a question that we're putting out to you. What message would you like us to pass on to Chief Commissioner Ken Lay? Ken Lay is participating in his first Pride March as Chief Commissioner, and so he's not going to be able to speak to everyone there on the day, but if you've got a message that you would like us to pass on to him, we're happy to do so, because I'll certainly be spending quite a bit of time with him on the day. And we've already had one in from Anonymous. Heard Christine Nixon at a leadership event. Has he contemplated writing a book like she did possibly in the future? I'll attempt to get an answer from that.
I think that's a pretty good question, pretty reasonable question.
And I think, I don't know whether I can speak for Ken, but it's not an unusual thing for leaders in the community to do.
But he's been in his job only a couple of months. I think he'll start to build a reflection about community. He's certainly engaging diverse culture and faith communities, and he's about to really engage this Sunday the diverse gay and lesbian sexuality and gender diverse community. So that'll be quite exciting for him. And I think he'll start to frame a different picture of his policing that he hasn't had before.
And look, he'll talk about this, and we'll play the interview very shortly. But he does talk about growing up in the country. He's a boy from Currumburra, and I certainly know that when he was in the Assistant Commissioner for the North West Region. He sat on our multi-faith advisory council. So he has got a good connection with community in the past, and he's done a lot of work as a police officer with community. He really appreciates, he understands, it's not appreciation, he understands the need for police to be connected to the community.
Should we hear a little bit more of Ken Lay?
Why not?
Do you remember your first day as a police officer? And what was it like?
I do, Paul, and it was on the 4th of February 1974, and I was a 18-year-old boy from Currumburra, and I turned up at the police depot. I don't think Scott and Gabby would remember the police depot, but...
I've heard stories.
Yeah, I turned up in my purple suit for my first ever day, and the time's gone quick since then.
Can I just say that I'm impressed, because I still own a purple suit.
Ah, there you go.
Well, you're on track for being commissioner.
It was 1974, Scott.
1974, 2009, it makes no difference. A purple suit is a purple suit. Was there anything that stood out about that first day? Because in those days you arrived at the depot and you were sworn in straight away. Nowadays you have to go through the police academy.
Scott, what was really interesting of those in those days, Victoria Police seemed to recruit lots of their members from country Victoria. So okay. there was 40 or 50 of us there, all about the same age, 18 or 19, all down in the Big Smoke for the first time. So it was a little daunting, but it was very, very exciting. Very different from these days because we take recruits from a whole range of the community, whole range of ages, education, backgrounds and the like. So very different, but very exciting. And I can remember I was very, very proud too at the same time.
35 years of policing, how does one last? Because there are a lot of police that come and go. They either get out because they don't like it, they get out because, you know, well, they're not good. But you're here and you're still going.
Yeah, Paul, it's a job I've loved. I don't think there's a day that I really haven't enjoyed coming to work. And even now, after 35 years, I often think of just how lucky I've been and the opportunities I've had in Victoria Police. It's really one of these jobs with about 100 occupations in the one occupation. So, look, I've seen all parts of Victoria. I've travelled to all parts of the world. I've met some fantastic people, both police members and government and politicians and community leaders and the like. So it's been a fantastic job, and I still love it today as much as I did the first day.
Well, it is a wonderful job. I agree with you there. But aside from the role you're in now, which of your previous roles would you have had the most satisfaction from?
Yeah, look, I spent a lot of time in country Victoria, Gabby, and that really did give me an opportunity to be very close to the community. So you got into community groups and your kids were in the community groups and your family members were. So the community tends to embrace their police members. So any of the four or five country jobs I've had have been great. But I do come back to about 18 or so months ago when I came into the road policing space. This is a job that, if you get right, you can actually make a huge, huge difference to people's lives. So this is a very, very satisfying part of my career.
And there is some real unique things that Victoria Police seem to be doing, which we'll have a bit of a chat after the next break. Operation Ardent, twittering, sorts of new things, which... Are quite exciting.
Yeah, we need to keep getting smarter about this, Scott. You know, 300 people die on our roads every year, and that's far, far too many, so we've got to keep trying new things.
Things. That was my edit. I cut out the S on the end of there.
Now, that audio was, he was then Deputy Commissioner Ken Lay. He's now Chief Commissioner of Police here in Victoria.
Yep.
Interviewed by Paul Anthony and yourself and also Gabby Tyne.
That's right. And he talks about 35 years in policing there. Well, this weekend, it'll be 38 years
in policing.
Now,
that's an extraordinary, extraordinary length of time. And I know at Midsummer Carnival and certainly coming up at Chill Out, we meet a lot of people in the gay and lesbian community that actually want to be Victoria Police members. Mm-hmm. And they're usually above 18. They're usually in their 20s or even 30s.
Yeah.
Very few are 18-year-old freshers.
He does talk a little bit in that last clip about how things have certainly changed. And he even talks about, you know, there were 40 or 50 people turned up on that day at the police depot, as it was back in those days down in St Kilda Road. And that a significant number of those were from country areas, and that Victoria Police was doing a lot of recruiting from country areas. And though it was also quite young of age. Our average age now has dropped down a little bit. It used to be around about 32. We've got a lot of recruiting going on at the moment. I think it's dropped down to about 28. But we're still looking for people with a lot more life experience, a bit more maturity coming in. Not to say that, you know, people weren't mature back then. Certainly don't want to suggest that about the Chief Commissioner.
Well, there are some young people in the gay and lesbian community that have brilliant careers. They've done youth fellowships, they've done scholarships, they actually have a lot of life experience already. So don't let that deter you. If you're 18 and you've travelled the world six times and you've gone and done some very interesting stuff, don't let it deter you that you're only 18 years old. You might cut the muster.
You've got to be 18 and a half to apply. There is a little bit of a limitation there, but I've been in interviews with people who want to join Victoria Police, have been 18, 19, and they've been successful. So you certainly can do it.
Now, the highlight for me is Ken's career in country towns in rural Victoria in a range of different ways, from a young police person all the way up to senior roles.
Yep.
And he would definitely have been exposed to the issues faced by prejudice, hate, homophobia in rural areas, certainly against culture and faith, but I'm sure against same-sex attracted people.
I have no doubt about it, and he certainly spoke about some of that at the launch last year of the Prejudice Motivated Crime Strategy by Victoria Police. He does have an understanding of it, he really does. Now, we've got a question running. What message would you like us to pass on, or what questions would you like us to ask Ken Lay next Sunday at Pride March? We've had a couple more come in. We'll talk about those a bit later on. And I've had a bit of a brainstorm while we were playing that interview. I'm going to try and get hold of an audio device, and I will ask them, rather than just asking him and writing down his answers, I'll attempt to get them on audio and we'll try and play them next week.
You're on the Vic Police Glow Show, partnership between Joy 94.9, Victoria Police Glows, Anti-Violence Project, Crime Stoppers, but most importantly, you.
If you have any knowledge concerning any crime, call Crime Stoppers on 1800 333 000 or visit crimestoppers.com.au. If it's an emergency, always call 000.
You're on Vic Police Glow Show with Scott Davis and Greg Atkins, and that song, well, the first song of the day was Cyndi Lauper with Shebop, but this song we just played was The Saturdays with Just Can't Get Enough.
I had such a crush on Cyndi Lauper when I was in my teens.
Did you?
I loved what... And whenever she appeared on Countdown, I always got very, very excited.
She has some great music, especially with Sarah McLachlan. You can probably listen to that music play on some of the great shows on the weekend, such as Detours at 12 noon on Saturday, or even Saturday Magazine at 11 or 10 o'clock that goes 10 till 12 on Saturday mornings, amongst many other great shows right across the weekend here on Joy 94.9.
Without saying. Now, it's the Vic Police news segment, and as I said at the top of the show, I don't normally put a crime into the Vic Police news segment. I tried to put that as something more sort of community information. But we've had a sexual assault down in Paran, and I believe that we might be able to get some information from some of the people who live and work and play down that way. So it is a crime, but this is the Vic Police News segment. So this is the media release that appears in vicpolicenews.com.au. Police have released an image of a man they believe may be able to assist us with the investigation into a sexual assault of a man in Paran last week. Investigators are appealing for witnesses following the incident, which occurred between 2:30 a.m. and 3 a.m. on Thursday the 26th of January, so Australia Day. Police understand the 24-year-old South Yarra man was walking north along Balmoral Street when he heard someone behind him. The victim was then approached by an unknown male who pressed a sharp object into the victim's back. Detectives have been told the victim was forced into Portland Place between Grosvenor. Is it?
Yep, Grosvenor.
And Cliff Street, is that yes. How you pronounce that one?
Grosvenor and Cliff.
Yep. Where the offender was then has pushed the victim against a fence before sexually assaulting him. Police believe the offender was disturbed by a car which shone its headlights on the victim and the offender, causing the offender to run north along Portland Place. The offender is described as being medium build, between 175 centimetres and 180 centimetres tall, with short, dark brown hair. He was wearing a dark T-shirt and shorts, had an earring or a stud in his right ear. And we are asking anyone who might have information about this incident to get in touch with Crime Stoppers.
Now, we don't know the sexuality of the victim, and we certainly don't know the sexuality of the perpetrator, because what we do know is in sexual assault and sex offences, it's actually not about the sex, it's about the power. So this individual's put a knife to a person, sharp object to his back, probably a knife. We assume it's a knife. We don't know what it is. But he's used that to exert power and influence over the other person to be able to commit the assault. And sexual assault is usually one where the jollies are not being had, if you don't mind me using that language, not from the sexual act itself, but actually from being more powerful than a victim and putting them down. So it's we don't by any means think that this perpetrator is a gay man. He may well be a heterosexual man that's just out to victimise another individual.
Yeah. So look, just to give you a really quick recap, it was between 2:30 a.m. and 3 a.m. on Thursday the 26th of January, and it occurred in Portland Place between Grosvenor and Cliff Streets, where the offender pushed the victim against a fence before sexually assaulting him. The offender, if you were around in that area at the time, it was described as medium build, 175 to 180 centimetres tall, with short dark brown hair, and he was wearing a dark T-shirt, had shorts and an earring or stud in his right ear. If you've got information, we'd encourage you to get across to Crime Stoppers, so you can get across to crimestoppers.com.au and you can enter information there, or you can give them a call, 1800 333 000.
Now, it's the early hours of Australia Day. A lot of people are out that Wednesday night
Yeah,
partying.
That's right.
Yeah, you likely have seen something. You may have been driving the car that shone the headlights on that particular place and disturbed the man. So get out there and report to police. You're on Vic Police Glow Show with Scott Davis from Victoria Police and Greg Atkins from the Anti-Violence.
If you have any knowledge concerning any crime, call Crime Stoppers on 1800 333 000 or visit crimestoppers.com.au. If it's an emergency, always call 000.
Joy 94.9.
And you are on Joy 94.9. That's Village People with Macho Man.
Oh, is that who it was? I never would have guessed who that
far
was.
Far too young for you, Scott. And I can just vaguely remember it. This is the Vic Police Glow Show with the Victoria Police, Anti-Violence Project, Joy 94.9, Crime Stoppers, but most importantly you. You're part of this whole equation.
Now, you know I love my music. And I actually, as we were listening to that, I remember the first time I ever heard that song, and I actually didn't hear it being played. I heard somebody else singing it. I was on a scout camp down at Tarwin Lower, just down near Inverloch Way. And one of the guys on the camp must have just loved this song, and he was walking around all weekend singing it. I had no idea that it was a Village People song or anything like that. But yes, first time I ever heard that song.
Now, we're asking today we're getting a lot of feedback. The question is, what would you like to ask Ken Lay? What question would you like to ask Ken Lay on Pride March Day?
And what would you like us to pass on?
That's right.
So Andy has texted in and he said, will you be getting the rainbow on? Now, I'm not exactly sure what that means.
Oh, that's a really good question.
Yeah.
I suspect Ken Lay might have an inner rainbow ready to burst out on Pride March Day.
So, Andy, if you could explain what you actually mean by getting the rainbow on, will you be wearing a rainbow sash or I don't know.
If you're there, Andy, come up and say g'day to the Glows and everyone
else.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Pride March.
Okay, so we've also got a question which says, what policing units do you admire, Ken, worldwide and why, you know, in New York, so on and so on, which is actually a really good question.
Or Washington, that great person we had on the Glow Show year before last. That's a fantastic policing.
Brett Parson from Washington. And we've had another one that just wants us to say to Ken, that's wonderful, many thanks for doing that, as in, you know, participating in Pride March. Yeah.
Awesome.
Now, we're going to hear a little bit more from the interview that Paul Anthony and I and Gabby did with Ken back in 2009.
So, during Operation Ardent, you're using Twitter to let the community know about the real time as people are charged with drink driving and drug driving. Is this a new initiative, and what are you like? How's this going to achieve anything?
Yeah. Look, we're not sure that it's being used anywhere else in the world, to be perfectly honest. But one of the problems I've had, Paul, is actually with Victoria Police actually connecting really well with young people, with the drink driving stuff, particular. They're highly overrepresented in the fatalities and serious injuries, so we need to find ways to talk to these kids. And the Twitter seems to be a really good way of doing it. We had 900 followers before the first operation, and when we put a bit of media around this, that jumped to over 5,000 in a couple of days. I actually let our followers know of high alcohol readings, high speeders, the number of people we'd booked, the number of people we'd locked up, and the feedback was fabulous. We got lots of really positive stuff, one or two negative comments too, I might say, but generally it was pretty positive, and it's been a real winner. And what we're finding, it is actually educating young people about what we do on the roads.
I remember reading at the time when it was first, there was a bit of a media saturation around it, that one of your aims was to hope to get to the young people in the nightclubs and the pubs.
Exactly.
That night.
Exactly.
And warning that, we're so far tonight, we have charged 66 people with drink driving.
Yep.
Don't run the risk leaving.
Yes, we're up to 66 and you're next.
That's right. If you choose to get in the car, then you could be next.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. That was Ken Lay, the current Chief Commissioner of Police, who's been in that role since November 2011. Short 3 months so far. And that was an interview that yourself did, Scott, with Gabby Tyke and Paul Anthony, when he was Deputy Commissioner of Police. He's talking about innovation, and it's really interesting to have Ken Lay talking about innovation, because he, with the current discussion around tattoos, not having visible tattoos, and perhaps
the whole appearance standards.
People might think he's conservative, and maybe conservatism doesn't exclude people that are innovative and want to actually connect with people in fun and in different ways.
There's absolutely no doubt that what he was trying to do there was think of another way outside of the square to try and connect with young people. And I'm not sure if I said it in that clip, but when we look at young people, say, aged 18 to 25, they make up 14% of licence holders here in Victoria, driver's licence holders, but they make up 28% of fatality victims?
There's a gap. You've given us two stats, fantastic, but there's a gap. What's the percentage of time that they're on the roads? And in particular, what's the percentage of time they're on the roads in the peak times when most of the accidents take place?
There's no doubt that there's a whole lot of factors that play in there, but what Ken was saying in that interview is that he's looking for something that's outside of the box, something innovative in a way to try and connect with young people to reduce their over-representation as victims of fatalities, you know, driver fatalities.
And this is a question. I've got a question for Ken Lay. I'm going to add to the questions, and you can actually SMS 0427 joy 949 or onair at joy.org.au. We'll land it in our inbox and you can have it asked of Ken Lay on Sunday at Pride March. But the question I have is, what innovation can we do with Victoria Police to increase the really poor levels of reporting of homophobic violence and homophobic harassment and crime? So what can we do around innovation with Victoria Police? And Ken, could that be perhaps assisted third-party reporting where Victoria Police and the Anti-Violence Project, for example, more closely interact around sharing of data and reporting? There's a question for Ken.
Excellent. We'll throw that one into the mix as well. Now, we've got another Crime Stoppers crime, so we'll jump straight into that before we hear a bit more of the interview from Ken Lane.
Now, this is an armed robbery in Coolaroo in October, 28th of October. Now, where's Coolaroo, Scott?
It's out west somewhere. I don't know exactly.
Okay, if you're anywhere near Barry Road, Coolaroo, please tune in and focus now. If you've travelled through or you have friends or relatives in the area, because you'll be able to direct them towards its reference number. Now, on the 28th of October, approximately 2 p.m. in the afternoon, four men entered a Celebrations liquor store on Barry Road in Coolaroo. The men looked around the store and then approached the front counter where one of the men was asked by a staff member to produce his bag for inspection. And the man allegedly produced a knife. He threatened the staff member and he stole a bottle of alcohol before fleeing the store. One of the men is described as 18 to 25 years old, 160 centimetres tall, has black curly hair, an olive complexion, and has a tattoo on his neck. Quite distinctive features. He was wearing a grey t-shirt, dark pants, and was carrying a black backpack. The other man is described as Caucasian, 18 to 25 years old, and 180 centimetres tall. He was wearing a t-shirt and listening to a green music system. The other two men, now there are four men involved, but the other two men are described as 18 to 25 years old, 160 centimetres tall, and both wearing t-shirts. Now, police have released images of two men whom they may be able to assist with their inquiries. Check out CA6004 on the crimestoppers.com.au website, or you can report information on 1-800-333-000. You can actually, reports are confidential. So if it's someone you know and you're fearful about revealing that you know that, you can actually make these reports confidentially to Crime Stoppers.
Absolutely. And, you know, we spoke about this with the last crime that we spoke about, but the impact on victims of these sorts of crimes can be really, really significant. And as we're reading there, it reminded me of my son. My son's 25 years of age, and a couple of years ago he was working in a liquor store. And he confronted somebody who he thought was stealing from the store, and next thing you know, he's been punched to the face. And, you know, it still has a significant impact on him now. He was moved elsewhere within the store so that he was taken away from that coalface, because he really struggled to continue working in that area because it just kept constantly coming back to him. So, you know, we really would like to catch these people, and we do require your help to do that.
Well, it's one step removed. It could be, in this case, it's knife. It could be a case where someone's being homophobic and then bashing someone. It's about people not actually getting a perception of what they're doing to another human being harms them, and no sense of how they interact with other people. So we do need to get them off the street. CA6004 on the Crime Stoppers website. CA6004, check it out. And if you see something,
say something.
If you have any knowledge concerning any crime, call Crime Stoppers on 1800 333 000 or visit crimestoppers.com.au. If it's an emergency, always call 000.
Fantastic organisation, vglrl.org.au. That's the Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby. Now, the Anti-Violence Project, they do the core work around reporting violence, supporting you in interacting with Victoria Police, hence we're here with the partnership show with Joy. But the Rights Lobby, they're the ones that actually, if you feel there needs to be some change in law, if you think there's something that's not quite right and requires lobbying, lobbying, that's what they do. They're the lobbying side of the gay community, whereas the AVP are the actual hands-on, let's talk about homophobia and how we can make a difference.
And the fact that I'm sitting here today is a direct result of the rights lobbying, who lobbied the Victoria Equal Opportunity Commission and Victoria Police, saying we need gay and lesbian liaison officers. And they did a really good job of doing all of that. Now, we've got our mobile GPS person out there, Tess, thank you very much, who let us know that Coolaroo is north of Broadmeadows.
And we heard the bling come in as she reported
Yeah, that's right. Tess. You could hear that SMS come through.
Now, if you have a question for Ken Lay or a comment you'd like passed on to Ken Lay, 0427 JOY949, just like Tess, or on air at joy.org.au. We've got a little bit more audio from Ken. Helps to show shape our understanding of who this man is as Chief Commissioner of Police.
This shows, I think this talks about how knowledgeable he's actually become in 35 years of policing, and I think that that for us is advantageous because it helps us to feel confident that he's going to continue to be a great police person in the Chief Commissioner's role.
This is the Vic Police Glow Show.
Joy 94.9.
What does the research say about dangerous driving whilst using a mobile?
Look, you're four times more likely to have a collision if you're using a mobile, and if not, so we know it is dangerous, particularly with young people, and you're probably aware, Paul, that in the first year of driving that red P plate drivers aren't allowed to use mobile phones at all in cars, and that's one of the reasons, because it is a really dangerous practice at a really dangerous time for the kids.
So not even hands-free in that instance?
No phones at all for the red P-platers. Look, we do have some difficulties in actually enforcing it. We need to use motorcycles and, say, people standing on corners and the like. So we do have these operations from time to time. But again, it comes back to that fact that the person behind the wheel needs to understand how dangerous this is. And sometimes it's a bit hard to get that. You know, lots of people do it, but you know, it is hurting people. One of the other things we're doing, Paul, is when we're 10 serious collisions, we actually do a check now to see if mobile phones have been used. So if you do get hurt in a collision and have been using a phone, you may well be held account for it.
Because when the phone rings, the first thing you do is look at it, don't you?
Yeah, look, the research shows that we're not disciplined and we're not good at it. But the really, really dangerous behaviour of, you know, texting while you're driving, we still see a lot of that, and there's really no excuse for that. That is a bit silly.
Is technology against you?
Look, I think the answer to it is probably in the technology as we go forward, that the newer cars now have the Bluetooth stuff built in. So I think as these cars start, more and more of these cars get on the road, less and less people will actually be using the handheld devices. But it's not just the mobile phones, it's CDs and radios and all those distraction things in the car that can take your attention away from what you really need to be
and
doing.
You're right, with the young people, with the inexperience, I think the research really shows that for 18 to 25s, they make about 14% of licence holders, yet they're about 28% of fatalities.
Yeah, that's right.
And that inexperience, and we've spoken about that with Paul just using the panel here in front of us, that when you first learn to use the panel, you can't do anything else other than push the buttons. It's very difficult to do it. And if you're driving a car, you need to concentrate on learning how to drive a car, even if you do have your driver's licence. You can't be distracted by other things like people in the car or using the mobile phone. That sort of thing.
You're absolutely right, Scott.
What about CB radios? Back in the day when I had a 27 megahertz CB radio, we used to use that to not only find out where you were, but to...
But did it work?
Well, yes. Yeah. Well, you know, the Truckee channel was always good for that.
Did it work all the time, though, Paul?
I think so. I can't remember. I don't want to. Don't want you digging up any old files on me. But that was a way of communicating.
And I
guess a distraction as well. But and now we've moved into mobile phones. So what about truck drivers and coach drivers and courier drivers who rely on to use their CB radio to talk back to base?
Yeah, they're not supposed to, Paul. It's as easy as that. Police and the emergency services are the only ones that have got an exemption to actually to use those devices while they're moving. So whilst we know a lot of people do it, it's really about the public education to help people understand just the risks involved.
All right, taxi drivers, forever answering their mobile phone while I'm in the car with them.
Yeah, more and more they are using the Bluetooth, I think, Paul. So again, you know, they shouldn't be doing it.
What about their little things that they touch? So they, I can't remember what they're called, but they're a computer system, so then the depot knows where they are.
No legislation against that. But again, that's very similar to changing radio stations
and GPSs as well.
GPSs are the same, yeah. So.
There's just too many distractions in cars now, even with the DVD players and screens.
Yeah.
If you have any knowledge concerning any crime, call Crime Stoppers on 1800 333 000 or visit crimestoppers.com.au. If it's an emergency, always call 000.
You're on Vic Police Close Show with Scott Davis, the manager of the Gay and Lesbian Advisory Unit at Victoria Police, who he's not in charge of the Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officers, but he's in charge of the, I suppose, the policy arm of how Victoria Police engages and pulls the information and knowledge and resources together on gay, lesbian, same-sex attracted, gender diverse community.
Yeah, and I'm also in charge of education in regards to providing information to police about GLBTI communities, effective policing, all that sort of stuff, and the training of our gay and lesbian liaison officers. So whilst I'm not in charge of them, I can certainly influence our gay and lesbian liaison officers through the education that they receive.
That's excellent.
And you've been involved in that training as well. So it's the community doing the influence as much as it is me.
And it's one of the best training models that's evolved, certainly. I mean, over the 15 years of the Anti-Violence Project, where we actually celebrated, yes, I suppose we did celebrate a few weeks ago, our 15th birthday, over the 15 years of watching Gay and Lesbian Liaison and the advice, or where it comes from, who the influencing people are within Victoria Police, we're now perhaps in the strongest position we've been in by having this advisory unit. Now, there's no word, and I'll put you on the spot, we haven't heard any more word, have we, and you probably can't comment, on that status of the advisory unit and whether or not we're going to be continuing to have an advisory unit in Victoria Police. You probably can't comment on that.
You have put me on the spot. I can tell you that this week the position is still running because I'm sitting in the chair.
Fantastic. And look, if you happen to be speaking to Ken Lay on the weekend, Scott can't talk about this, but the Anti-Violence Project can. It's an opportunity to perhaps put this question to Ken Lay and guarantee some of the comments that Simon Overland made when he was Chief Commissioner, where he guaranteed that in the new restructure, if anything needed tweaking and there needed to be problems that were going to resolve to maintain the integrity of advice coming to Victoria Police, he gave a commitment that would be built into the process. So, Ken, there's a little question for you as well. Let's get some commitments about it.
Now, we have been asking people to send in questions, and we've had a couple of really good ones come in. Now, another one from Anonymous. One last question to Ken, if I may, please. What makes a great leader in Australia? Now, I definitely want to put that one to Ken next week and get his views.
Question.
It is a great question. And another one from Paul, who says he'd like to ask if he sees a long-term future in the deployment of GLOWS, which is a little bit sort of around the question that you were just asking then as well.
I think that's a visionary, forward-looking question for Ken. And I actually suspect he'll have some interesting perspectives about where he takes not just gender diverse and sexuality communities, but faith and multicultural communities and how better to police, because he's seen a range of ways that have worked and failed.
He's got a good background there. Now, if you aren't able to get your question through right now, or you're listening to this as a podcast, and you can download our podcasts from the Joy website, joy.org.au, you can get an email to us. So you can email the people involved in the show by emailing glow@joy.org.au. And if you've got a question for Ken and it gets there before Friday, I'll be able to ask him at Pride March on Sunday for you. We'll attempt to record his answers or his responses to those questions and play them next week. Now, we've got one last little snippet from
him. It's a very small snippet, but we think you should listen to this.
Just before I do let you go, I've noticed that you've all either following in Ken's footsteps because you've got the same clothes on, or whether or not because you've shopped at the same shop.
Well, we didn't speak to each other and liaise beforehand, and unfortunately we're dressed the same.
There's a wonderful little store in Wellington Street, Collingwood, that supplies us with our clothes.
Cheap too.
Cheap, yes.
Fantastic. All right. Deputy Commissioner for Road Policing, Ken Lay, thank you so much.
Thanks, Paul, for the opportunity, and thanks, Gabby, and thanks, Scott.
Vic Police Glow Show. That's Ken Lay, who was then the Deputy Commissioner of Police and is now been promoted. He's the Chief Commissioner of Police.
And he has a good sense of humour.
He has a great sense of humour. Yeah. He probably has some hidden tattoos. Well, someone should ask him, does he have any hidden tattoos?
You can add that one to the list as well.
But he's marching at Pride March.
Now, we
on
want
Sunday.
To thank Paul Anthony for supplying that audio, because he had all of that captured and he provided that to me, and then I did some pretty average editing on it for today's show. But we really do want to thank Paul Anthony. Thank you very much. And I've got your text message and I'll get back in touch with you today. So thank you.
Now, recap quickly. Armed robbery in Coolaroo, CA6004. We are looking, or the police are looking, for a man following a sexual assault in Prahran. You can check out Crime Stoppers. That happened on the morning of Australia Day morning. Mm-hmm. And we had an armed robbery in Huntingdale on the 28th or 29th of October. And the reference number for that is CA5989. Go to crimestoppers.com.au to check those out. If you need assistance from the Anti-Violence Project, that's antiviolence.info. And as Scott Davis says, the best way to contact the Glows between these shows is gllo@joy.org.au for this show. And that goes into the inboxes of the Senior Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officers and the Advisory Unit. And join us next week for the Vic Police Glow Show partnership between the Vic Police Glows, Joy 94.9, Crime Stoppers, and you.
Ever wanted to leap tall buildings, uphold the law, solve a crime, but just don't have the time?
Go!
Tune in to Joy 94.9, Wednesdays from midday,
when Victoria Police Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officers
Gabby and Scott
ask for your help in solving crime.
Victoria Police Glows, Crime Stoppers, the Anti-Violence Project, and Joy 94.9, working together to help make our community safe.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.